This is the Patriots Pregame Social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap. Back to throw. Fires left. Caught. First down. Branch inside the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown.
The Pregame Social is the world's biggest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Back-to-back world championships. 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hard of Patriots Football Weekly are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Pats visit Raymond James Stadium to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Paul and Andy get you ready for the game. Live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Patriots Pregame Social.
Issue number 2, Andy Hart. Episode. I'm going to call them episodes because it's kind of like a revolving story, a New England Patriots season. I'm going to call this episode number 2 of the Patriots Pregame Social here in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Did that sound like I read it?
Yep.
I'm looking right at it just like Fred Kirsch always does. The Subway Fresh broadcast studio here inside Gillette Stadium. Another edition of the Patriots Pregame Social, the world's largest virtual tailgate party hosted by Andy Hart and Paul Perillo here in Foxborough. And it's a little bit of a sad day for me. It's the first road trip I have not made in about, 7 years?
Not since a Super Bowl, right?
Super Bowl 39 was the last road trip I did not make. It's been a while. I only missed 4 games in my now 13 seasons here with the Patriots.
That's impressive. I like stories. Move on.
But there is a game tonight, despite the fact that you and I are not going to be there in person. The Patriots are going to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in about 2 hours and 15 minutes or so.
At Ray J Stadium.
At Raymond James Stadium. I hope the pirate ship is as cool as ever. That is one of the cool elements of things and opposing stadiums that I kind of like.
I think you may actually like it more now. I saw some of the beat writers tweeting out photos of the pirate ship, and there's now a massive Miller Lite sign above it.
So, you can't go wrong with a Miller Lite sign.
A boat and Miller Lite. It's a weekend in Tampa Bay.
That's certainly made in heaven.
I'm jacked.
Well, I am too, and for a number of reasons. Last week, first of all, just a quick recap on that Jacksonville Jaguars game. A lot of things to be excited about, I thought, from a Patriots perspective.
Taylor Price.
With a lot of young guys, and if you did tune into the inaugural edition of the Patriots Pregame Social, you heard Andy Hart for 2 full hours tell you how great Taylor Price was. And then you went out and saw him catch 5 passes for 105 yards and a touchdown.
Haven't seen him since.
Now, the downside is that we haven't seen him since. But if you also, Andy, listened to the inaugural edition of the Patriots Pregame Social, you heard me for 2 hours tell you about Stephen Ridley and how much I liked him. And then he went out and scored 3 touchdowns in his professional debut. So that was an exciting start to our show, and we hope to hit on a lot of things during the course of the season. Again, as was the case last week, Andy, I'm interested to see what you want to see tonight. I'm interested to hear what you want to see tonight.
A simple, simple thing. A connection from numero uno dos, numero ocho cinco.
How did you almost mess that part?
Well, I was going to say it the right way because you know Ocho Cinco is 8-5.
Thanks.
It's not 85.
Thanks.
So it's a little different. But, you know, getting the first offense and getting the stars on both sides, but primarily the first offense on the field. We've seen frustration in camp from Tom Brady. We've seen Ocho Cinco with a lot of drops. And I know it's just the second preseason game, but I'd like to see them complete 2 or 3 passes. Yeah. You know, run a slant, have him hit Ocho in stride, and make a completion. That's what I'm looking for, specifically the offense and specifically Tom Brady, Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the things, certainly one of the top 3 things on my list. And I also want to see if any of those young guys that flashed last week can do so again. Now, obviously, you mentioned Price not going to be a part of this game tonight, hasn't practiced since then, but can Ridley follow up on his performance last week? Can Nate Solder fall, because I thought Nate Solder had a solid professional debut last week as well. Not nearly the fanfare that goes with the position, left tackle. He's going to be out there protecting Tom Brady this time.
Can we get into that a little bit?
And against a young, athletic front for Tampa Bay, and you have the names right in front of you, but a lot of high draft picks, a lot of first-round draft picks among that group. I expect to see some of those guys giving Nate Solder a handful tonight.
Adrian Claiborne, obviously, was their first-round pick, 20 or 21, right in the same area, actually, as Solder, and they could kind of meet up. But the thing I want to talk about is I don't care who's on the other side of the ball. I've read stuff lately, Matt Light's not going to make the trip, so Solder's going to have to play left tackle. Guess you won't see Tom Brady.
That's insane.
He was the 17th pick in the draft, correct?
Correct.
He played major college football. This isn't Markell Carter out of 1AA Southern Arkansas, Central Arkansas, wherever he's from. This is a major college football guy who you said was worth the 17th pick in the draft.
Couldn't
Matt Light was
more.
The 30-whatever, 6th pick in the draft. You started him as a rookie. I just don't understand this whole theory that, God forbid, we start somebody. I know you didn't have an offseason.
It was silly.
But he's been practicing every day.
Yeah.
He's been out there last week playing against real NFL players for the Jacksonville Jaguars, regardless of what you think of that team. And to me, to just say, oh, we can't play Brady because Solder has to play is borderline ridiculous.
I'm glad you got into that. It was a silly mindset, a silly premise. And
but
I've
it
heard
seemed
it,
pretty widespread.
I've heard it more than once this week. First of all, I got news for everybody. If Matt Light did not re-sign with the Patriots, and don't just say that that was a sure thing, because we happen to know both of us to talk to somebody who has some knowledge of that negotiation. It was not a sure thing. They did not know throughout the lockout that Matt Light would be back. A matter of fact, a line that we were told is he's going to have to take a lot less if he's going to be back, because the offer that they originally made was shot down by Light's camp. If he didn't take that, Nate Solder would be your starting left tackle on opening day.
And he didn't take less, by the way, I don't think. That's a side topic.
That is a topic for another day.
Because he potentially got a one-year $7 million deal, which to me sounds like pretty good money.
Well, yeah.
He didn't get the long-term thing, but
guaranteed money that I was a little surprised about. But I'm
just saying it baffles me, the theory that the 17th pick in the draft couldn't be ready to compete on an NFL field. And I know Brady's the franchise. I know you cannot afford for him to get hurt. But is Nate Solder any worse, and this is no disrespect to this guy, is he any worse than Dan Conley, who's been a developmental professional over years and years and years and kind of worked through the program?
They're very easy things to fixate on, and I think that people run with them, and I think this one was way off base.
I mean, you have to
get
ready
for
an NFL season.
It's a glamour line position. It's the blind side. Like a sack hurts more if you don't see it coming.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, if you take a big blow and you're starting to get hit a lot, it's going to pile up. It's going to leave a mark.
And by the way, Brady didn't have the offseason, so Brady needs to play at some point.
Right.
If they're going to be expected to be at and week two, they have, to me, you know, Rodney Harrison has now become a very active tweeter. We're obviously a Twitter-based show, Facebook.
Yes.
He is predicting that the dark horse in the AFC is the San Diego Chargers. You have that team in week two. You need to be ready to compete, maybe put some points on the board in week two.
Yeah,
you could probably beat the Dolphins with, you know, 14, 17 points. You're going to have to score some points to beat the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah,
they have a pretty good offense.
In theory, you would expect
that. So you need
to
play. So you need to have Tom Brady ready. I think he needs to play in the preseason. And if Nate Solder's your left tackle, then so be it. Nate Solder's your left tackle.
So those are a couple of things that
I'm fired up early, Paul. I'm ready.
We're going to bring you this kind of intensity.
It's
going to
be the pregame anti-social when I get worked up.
Well, that's another thing that we sort of touched on last week. The irony is still there that the Patriots pregame social is hosted by the two most
anti-social
people.
I want to fight with somebody tonight. Let's bring it.
But we gave you a couple of elements of this game
we're
looking for.
I'm going to interrupt. One more.
Sure.
You talked about guys, Stephen Ridley, who might continue the momentum, take that next step.
Sure.
Dane Fletcher, great Dane, I thought, flew around the football field, been flying around in practice. Obviously, Brandon Spikes is still out of action.
Right.
Gerard Mayo is likely to start on one side of him, not in the middle. I think they're going to be
a 4-3
set.
Glad you brought him up, Andy.
Dane Fletcher. I want to see if he can run the defense, make some checks, and most importantly, between those A-gaps, blow crud up. What we've seen him do throughout camp, I want to see him banging.
So, again, there's a few elements that we have right now that we can we're certainly looking for tonight. A couple of elements that are going to catch our eye that we're anxious to wait for. As always, as was the case last week and will be the case each and every week on the Patriots pregame social, the show relies on you. We're looking for input. We're looking for interaction, and we're looking for interaction in a lot of different ways. You're hearing us right now on the Patriots Facebook page on the pregame social, okay?
Or your app if you got your iPhone and
your
BlackBerry.
Your mobile
app up.
Your mobile app. You're listening to us that way.
What better way to get ready for a game? You're going to drink some beers.
Hey,
get the iPhone out and just let it play in the background.
That's what Sting's going to do, right?
Well, he's actually, I think, going to hit a jog. He's going to hit a little quick jog in before he hits the, adult beverages.
Member of the Patriots Media Relations Department, Michael Gerovati, a.k.a. Sting, for his uncanny resemblance to the rock star, former police member. This is how we want this to go each and every week. You're going to be on the Twitter feed. You're going to be on the, we're taking phone calls here inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studio.
There was no pause there.
I didn't even read it that time. Our Ace Ticket hotline, though, you can get us on is 508-298-0398. We want to hear from you. The phone calls came in hot and heavy last week. That was excellent. We want you to keep up that kind of intensity. That's what we're looking for in the pregame social. Again, 508-298-0398. And, of course, everybody knows the email address here at webradio@patriots.com. Not at webradio.
That's
webradio
Twitter. Paul is confusing his technology.
Well, that's what happens when we have so much social media going on at once, Andy. Sometimes they overlap and they intertwine. So I got a little bit tongue-tied there.
But we have
webradio@patriots.com.
We have some bad news, too, though.
We do.
Vito Stellino is not going to be a part of the second episode of the Patriots pregame social. I'm assuming he's not going
to. We are going to talk about him a little bit, however, and we will later in the show be joined by Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune to talk a little bit about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Andy,
talk about the comings and goings in Tampa.
That's Andy Hart for you. Now, listen, Andy. Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, two Florida-based NFL writers. Probably a good chance that Roy Cummings knows Vito Stellino. That might come up. So you might want to tune into that interview.
Wonder if he's ever been yelled at by Vito Stellino.
Because it happens down there! Because getting fired on January 2nd!
And I still love that email from the guy who asked if it was Joe Paterno. I mean, that was just classic. So again, we're taking your emails. We're taking your phone calls. We want to hear what you have to say on Facebook. We want to hear what you have to say on Twitter. We want to know how you're preparing for this game tonight. We're going to check in with another fan club in the UK, I believe, this week. So we want to know how you're preparing for this Buccaneers game. I want to know how important you think this game is, what you do to get ready for the game. All of these things are on the table for the Patriots pregame social. Nothing else?
I thought that was a commercial break. You did it so well. You were leading right into a commercial.
I would let him know if I was going to take. I don't do the.
I thought that was a Fred Kirsch like and the game and a commercial and
I don't do the Fred Kirsch like just try to hit him with a break when he's not ready.
What do you think about the Bucs, Paul Perillo?
I think the Bucs are an intriguing team, and that's interesting that you brought that up in the way that you did with Bill. The way Bill Belichick talked about this team. I thought was kind of interesting. He's treating this as a big week. He keeps using that terminology. And he set it up
just
as
to prove it, he's going to actually start his, star players.
He set it up as a regular season game week. He talked about that as well. With the 3 days of prep, the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, he treated kind of as a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in a regular season week. What was the number we had in the preview? 74 of their 90 players on the roster aged 25 or younger. This is a good, athletic, young football team. I think they'll probably take a step back from last year, Andy, because the 10-6, they won a lot of games late and, in sort of a dramatic fashion. But I think this is a pretty
dramatic
good football
team.
Dramatic or lucky? Well, that's what I'm saying. Usually those kind of even out on you. They won some games late last year.
Which is why I expect them to take a step back this year.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I don't I think the horseshoe was firmly up their butts last year.
But I do think there's some talent in this team.
No, they're a good young team. I'm not quite ready to anoint Josh Freeman and some of the guys on that team. And, what's the rookie receivers? And Mike Williams, to me, is a guy that I still have questions about long-term. Is he going to develop into a stable aspect of an offense? LeGarrette Blount, obviously, was a big find for them at running back. They're just, to me, they had a lot of good fortune last year that led to some of their wins. Now, the one thing you can't argue is they're going to be a young, hungry football team. You're not going to go out there and face a team that's just, rolling out week two preseason. We'll just go through the motions. These are guys that are fighting to establish themselves in their careers. So from that standpoint, I think it's a great week for the Patriots. You're going to get a very energetic, active opponent looking to make some bones, probably.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Is a preseason game, but this is still the Patriots coming to your house. That's still Tom Brady. That's still Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and I know that we...
Chip on your shoulder. You can prove a little
and
something.
And we overrate that a little bit when we talk about the Patriots, how it's always, you know, that's the standard. But listen, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, and they haven't won since 04, it's still a 14-2 football team. It was still the best team in football last year for 17 weeks. So it is an opportunity for a young team. Raheem Morris is trying to get these guys to buy in and believe, and it started to work last year. So it is, I think, a measuring stick for them, and that's always, I think, a good way to prepare in the preseason. And Belichick talks about this a lot. You want to go on the road and get some hostile fans against you, and you want to hear that momentum going against you to see how your team responds. Because as much as this Patriots team is sort of like the Patriots teams that we've seen in the recent past, there's also a lot of newness to it as well. There's a lot of different pieces. You mentioned Ocho Cinco right off the top. I think there are a lot of different pieces that are going to get integrated into this puzzle, and it's going to be, I think, pretty cool to see how Belichick gets those all in place.
You mentioned Ocho Cinco. We should probably mention reports out there that Mark Clayton, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens and St. Louis Rams, is expected to work out for the Patriots on Friday, tomorrow. And that's another name at receiver. Earlier in the week, TJ Houshmandzadeh reportedly worked out here at Gillette Stadium, although obviously no move was made in that area, and Adam Schefter reported they weren't expected to make a move in that area. But it's another name receiver at a position where I think a lot of people felt the team was pretty deep, pretty set, that you had Welker and Branch coming back. You brought in Ocho Cinco, high hopes for him, Price developing, Tate, Edelman, that you had good guys on the top of the roster and some guys that are maybe project slash potential. I don't really know what to make of it other than two options. A, due diligence on the part of Bill Belichick, and you never know. Wes Welker in a contract year, Deion Branch in a contract year. You know, he traded Richard Seymour before he was going to have to pay him to get some value for him. I don't put anything past him. And I know Wes Welker, everybody thinks, is going to be a key part of this offense. Well, I thought Richard Seymour would be a key part of that defense a couple of years ago, and Bill Belichick just pulled the carpet right out from under that and wasn't afraid to do so.
That's a good point.
If you're going to make a move like that, I think you need to be ready, though, to fill in behind on the depth chart, and I think guys like Houshmandzadeh and Clayton could be in that mix. Clayton, we should mention, coming off patella tendon knee injury, which to me is a major injury. To me, is a scary injury for a guy who's a quickness-based receiver, a little smaller. If you were expecting him to come in and replace Wes Welker, I'd have some concerns where he is health-wise. The other side of that for me is it's simply workouts. And I said this to you upstairs before we came on the show. These workouts would have normally taken place in March and April and May. Under the radar, we might not have known, or even if we did, it would have been in the midst of, oh, they just traded for Ocho Cinco, or oh, they signed this guy, they signed that guy. They didn't have a chance to do those until the CBA was ratified and they were allowed to do it. So maybe it's just it's close to the year and it's just feels a little different, but it's no different than usual updating emergency lists.
And Nick Caserio, the director of player personnel, said this week that it was just that. You know, all of these kinds of workouts or stuff that happens every single year. Went back and looked at his notes from last year, saw that the numbers were similar. The amount of players they worked out had pretty much coincided last year with what they've done so far this year. So I think that your standard operating procedure theory is probably the one that's most valid.
The thing I'd like to ask Nick, though, is go through the list and tell me if they are former first-round picks, former high-priced free agents, or are they just guys?
With the level of the guy.
You know, Chris Morris, to me, is not the same as Mark Clayton and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Right. Those guys
were once
very productive players, Darren Sharper. So, you know, what's the comparison in terms of that? That's what I'd want to know, not just numbers, but quality
of talent. My one fear, and you know, I everything you said I agree with, but my one thing I do have some concern about is the fact that we haven't seen Taylor Price. And I wonder if maybe that's something that's more long-term. And we haven't even seen him on the field working out in shorts.
We're a Twitter-based show. He tweeted earlier today, love game day, best day of the week.
Well, I hope so, because I really do. I am intrigued by his athleticism. We were on the bandwagon last week. You know, obviously everybody's on it now.
Yeah. Tuna, Parcells.
That's okay. Because,
I'll let you on.
But we let all comers, you can come. You can come on. There's plenty of room in the bandwagon.
All comers, Roy Cummings, anybody who wants to get on the bandwagon, we'll take them.
And again, I'm glad you brought up the Twitter feed, because I also want to add, when you're making your tweets about the Patriots pregame social, add the hashtag PPGS, Patriots pregame social. So that's what we're
Paul Perillo's gut says.
You know, that's just poor to me. I thought we were going to try to frown upon that sort of sophomore humor.
It's funny because he's fat.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't get the memo.
Sorry. I don't want to frown upon that sort of humor.
Happen again.
That's what drives PFW, and that's what's going to drive the pregame social as well. So if you can, if you could, as Rex Ryan would say, you know, if you could, if it's not too much trouble, when you have a comment to make via Twitter, add the hashtag PPGS for the Patriots pregame social, and that way all of our wonderful fans can sort of congregate in one easy to reach place. We're going to head to the phone. We want to head to the phone lines.
Sure.
I'm gonna head to the phone
I love
lines.
The phone line.
Because we have Ayo. Is it Ayo? Ayo in Canada? Ayo.
Hey, how you guys doing?
How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How's everything?
I'm doing great.
First of all, I got to say I enjoy you guys coming in online and giving us the opportunity to listen a little bit before the game starts.
I'm glad that
can't
you guys
wait for
like
the
it.
Game. Again, can't wait for the game. I'm really, really sick and tired of CFL. I want to get back to football. I'm telling you, seriously sick and tired of it. I just wanted to point out, because every time I go online and I see people come in, and they keep talking about Spygate, and I don't know why they keep going back to it.
Jealousy.
You know, when you study great generals, you know, they study their opponents before they go into war. You know, it just makes Bill Belichick more of a genius. You know, but when people go there and like, oh, Spygate this, Spygate that, they went 14-2 without Spygate. So why do people keep, you know, talking about Spygate? I don't know what's wrong with Jet fans. I don't know, you know, if you guys can say something about it to them.
You want us to talk to all Jets fans? We'll send out one of those mask phone calls like,
I'm telling
that's
you,
being a jackass.
Shut up.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
especially now. I mean, how far away are we now? It's low-hanging fruit, though. You know what it is. I would do the same thing. If the team I hated had a scandal like that, I would bring it up. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of jealousy.
Yeah, it's low-hanging fruit.
Even BS fans come in there and say things. You know, they haven't won a Super Bowl since '85, right?
Exactly.
That's correct.
You know, I don't know why they open their mouth and talking about the Patriots, you know? I don't know. I don't get this thing sometimes. These people, they just come in and run their mouth and talk about... It's a rebuild. We went 14-2 with first and second year player.
Yep.
You know, even Mayo was in his third year.
Yep. Yeah. There's definitely a turnover of the roster, and they're winning throughout it.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, and people don't get it. That is the genius of Bill. You know, and
we
the,
get it.
And the greatness of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We get you. We get you. Where are you watching the game tonight, Ayo?
I'm watching my laptop because I can't get it over here. The only game that they get to show over here is Buffalo Bills.
Oh yeah.
So, so I have no choice.
And no one wants to watch
the
Bills,
but to watch it on the laptop.
All right. Well, enjoy the game.
Enjoy the game, and thanks for the call.
Thank you very much, guys.
That's good. Ayo, not a big fan of CFL football, Andy.
Nor should he be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I told you the story. My cousin went down there. Vince Ferragamo.
Up there.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
It's not the Mexican FL.
Yeah, he was in a contract dispute in the early 80s with the Rams. He threw 30 touchdown passes, and he thought he was going to get paid, and they sort of screwed him a little bit. So he went up there, and he played for the Montreal Alouettes, I think they were called.
Alouettes.
And he got like a $4 million contract, and he just sucked. He was terrible up there, threw all kinds of interceptions. I think a year later he was back in the NFL, stayed with the Rams, had some more productive years with the Rams, and then he mopped up with Buffalo. He was awful with the Bills. But he had some good years with the Rams. But his CFL experience was not a pleasurable one. I got to move on.
Okay.
My little Vince Ferragamo story is over.
Yeah, I had nothing to add to that.
So as you know from listening last week, there's a lot of different elements of the social media that we're trying to embrace, which is very difficult for old fuddies like me to do, but we're doing our best. And one of them, and we're proud to have working alongside us this year, is FanTab. The Patriots FanTab rating is something we're going to check in with each and every week on the Patriots pregame social. So it's time to do that right now. And basically what you're trying to do is figure out how much confidence the Patriots fans have going into all the games. So tonight, we're going to look into that heading into the Tampa Bay game. Andy, do you have some numbers over there?
I do. Right now, their fan confidence rating is at 88, the average.
That seems low to me.
And it's gone down a point in the last 24 hours. Fans not feeling good. I don't know why. Maybe injuries, concern. You know what it was? People saying that Brady wasn't going to play. That's what it
was.
Well,
that's foolish. That's foolish to be losing
Everyone
any faith.
Everyone sucks but me.
To losing any faith over stuff like that in the preseason.
Now, you can also, beyond just registering your rating and helping your team and show your support there, you can also comment. There's a community online, a chat room, and you can interact with other fans. And we got a couple comments here. Brian says, I don't think we're going to see Haynesworth until the regular season. I think the PFW boys are right on this one with waiting to play him until it counts. I don't think we're going to see him. I just swallowed my tongue if you want to know what that noise was.
I don't think you're going to see Haynesworth.
I don't think you're going to see him. I don't think you need to see him. I mean, the comparisons to Moss are uncanny. He was on the practice field for a day, blew people up, put on a show in terms of what a defensive lineman can do in terms of putting on a show, and now we haven't seen him since. And they'll
Was Moss one day?
Ish.
Really?
I don't know.
I thought I
maybe a couple.
I thought I remembered
Haynesworth
him
was technically a couple too, but
yeah. I thought Moss
was basically
was out for
one
longer.
Show. It was one show, basically.
Oh, that the day that he got hurt was a show. Absolutely.
You know, it's the same kind of thing, and then you just release the hounds, come Miami Monday Night Football, and show what this defense can be. But I think there's other reasons to be excited about this defense. I don't think you need to see Haynesworth.
No,
I'm excited to just see the defense. The 4-3.
That's another
Jerod Mayo
I
on the
to.
Edge. Jerod Mayo covering receivers. Jerod Mayo rushing the passer a little bit. I think there's a lot to be excited about, and one guy we haven't talked, I don't think, a ton about on the social, since it was only 1 week.
The social.
Yeah, that's us.
I like it.
Okay. Andre Carter, not Kevin, but Andre, I got it right the first time that time, has, I would say, defensively been one of the shows of camp so far. Very active.
Flashing.
Showing
flashing.
A step, showing that flash, as Paul Perillo puts it, that we never saw from Jermaine Cunningham last year, despite wanting to see it, hoping to see it. He has the edge ability that I think fans want to see. And I'm intrigued to see what he can do as he gets more comfortable as this defense unfolds and as Matt Patricia and company figure out how they want to use him and how they want to unleash him on other teams. But I think that's interesting. Got another comment from DeMarcus.
Where?
Could be. Doesn't say. And he's in his home at his laptop. That's how he typed it. That's where. I'm thoroughly impressed with the offensive side of the ball despite a few flops in the Jags game. But I still haven't seen the defensive side with the recent talent Belichick has added. So it sounds like
you'll see some of that tonight, I think.
Any downgrading of the team sounds like it's defensive. Haynesworth not playing, not seeing enough on defense, maybe Spikes not being out there. Well, tonight you're going to see your, what do you call it, triumvirate? McCourty, Mayo, and Wilfork. The three levels, the three all-pros, the three guys that are going to be the core of this defense around which all the other activity will happen. And you should see all three of them tonight. And that should be an exciting night for Patriots fans.
So we're going to check back, just before we
so
end.
So get on over to FanTap.
Just before we
and
end
rank
the
them higher than 88, because you should be higher than 88. They're ninth in the National Football League. That's ridiculous. The Patriots are not the ninth best team in the league. You should feel very confident about your team.
Yeah, I want to see some more of that passion over there at FanTap.com. And
unless Solder gets beat by Adrian Claiborne and Brady gets hurt.
So just remember, that's how we're tracking your fan confidence.
Yes.
Is at fantab.com. So
I have high confidence.
Again,
PFW's confidence right now, 96.
And there's three ways, Andy, you can remember. You can sign up for an account by using Facebook or Twitter and just get right on that FanTab account. You want to do that and make sure it's all about your confidence. Just remember that. So, again, we thank our good friends at FanTab for providing us that platform because
they're fantabulous.
But I think you're right. I think that the ninth?
Ridiculous.
Where is the excitement? Where is the confidence level? Ninth?
Can you give me eight teams you have more
life.
Confidence in?
And,
hell,
and,
give me eight head
the numbers
coaches
are,
you have
and
more
the numbers
confidence
are growing.
In.
There's a lot of people have signed up since last week. There was really only 100 or so, right? Now we're
numbers are
up around 600. So
yeah,
there's
they're
been,
flying. Go over to fantab.com, log in, use your Twitter. You know you already have a Twitter. We all have a Twitter.
We all have a Twitter.
Well, you do in this day and age. You got to have a Twitter. Won't
we
be
do.
Long before I'll be able to direct message my mother on Twitter. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and some of the scuttlebutt at Raymond James Stadium right now is suggesting. I see Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe is saying the Stars will play about a quarter. I would say.
But he was one of the guys leading the chorus of if Solder's going to play, you can't play Brady.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I'll say this. And Andy and I have been around for a long time. Don't tabulate these things in the preseason based on quarters,
no.
based on time.
Snaps.
It's all about snaps.
You could see one 12, 14-play drive and Brady take his helmet off and go to the showers.
However, they could go three and out three times in a row, and you could see Brady in the end of the second quarter if it takes that long.
And especially if you see...
If the other team is driving...
Sloppiness and things that Bill doesn't like, you might get him out there a little
longer. It's about snaps. It's not about time. So, for example, if the Bucs go out there and put a 15-play drive together, and the Patriots go three and out, and all of a sudden the first quarter is over, you're going to see Brady in the second quarter.
Word.
Because there's a number of snaps that Bill Belichick has in mind for his frontline players, and he will use them tonight. And I see this interesting subject line on the next call. Joey's in Florida. The game is blacked out tonight in Tampa?
You got me? Am I on?
You are on, Joey.
Hey, Big Head, how you doing? Paul, how are you guys doing? I'm too old for this social media stuff. I'm all confused.
That's okay. You can still email.
But you found a way to get through on the Ace Ticket hotline, so you're not that old.
Yeah, no, I'm hanging in there. Listen, I'm 75 miles below Tampa, and I can't even see the game live. What's up with that?
That's the problem of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
I am told there are a lot of good seats available if you want to head over.
Yeah, you got time. Hop in the car. 75 miles. If you drive fast, you can get there in time. Get up there.
No, I got plenty of time, but here's the thing. I work nights. I work in the middle of the night. So,
I think do you have a sore throat? I sense that you have a little bit of a sore throat, maybe a little cough. Maybe you should call in.
Do you want that one of those Buffalo Wild Wings power outages to help you out or
yeah.
something?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I feel okay. But I work in the middle of the night, so I can't. You know, I'm sure I could drive up and get a ticket.
Apparently,
the place will be half empty.
Yes, and that's the problem.
Sure.
That's why you can't watch it.
Hey, Big Head, Andy, you're writing off West Welker already.
Whoa,
huh?
whoa! No! Don't misunderstand me. I am just saying, Wes Welker has had what? 300 catch seasons, an 80 catch season. I mean, you're talking about a guy with 400 plus catches over the last 4 years heading into a contract year who might be looking to get paid. You know, he got a decent deal last time where he got about $18 million, I think. He might be looking to upgrade. He might want to consider himself in the higher echelon in the league and make $6-7 million a year. If they're not looking to go there, you know, Bill likes to get rid of guys a year too early rather than a year too late, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, and if he's thinking of doing something like that, well, he damn well better have other guys ready to go. So you work out Hushmanzada, you work out Clayton.
Yeah, I just the idea of Wes Welker not being there next year is just kind of disturbing. But I'm really interested to see what Ocho Cinco can do. I want to see him hook up with Brady and make it work, you know?
Me too. And I will say, I've been one who said, you know, Ocho's not Moss, and he's a more well-rounded receiver in terms of going over the middle, and he'll run different routes. He has gone deep a lot over the last week or so. They've connected on a lot of deep passes. So those of you who are looking for that big showstopper-type play, we've seen those on the practice field, so don't give up hope on those.
Well, I'd like to see it live.
So get in the car, call in sick, and get up to the game.
It's a great stadium, and you can get the cool pirate ship in the end zone and everything.
Come on.
Yeah,
call in sick
yeah.
and go to the game. Do it. Do
you know,
it.
I think if I call in, the next caller will be Anthony in Naples.
All right,
hey,
Joey.
Listen, nice talking to you. Thanks for taking the call. Looking forward to a great season.
I appreciate it. Thanks for helping us out here on the pregame social. Joey, that's tough for those people. Patriots fans down in Florida, they probably looked at this as a bonus when they saw the schedule come out. You know, a game that they could catch on TV without having to jump through hoops and
go online
and
get some illegal stream.
It's blacked out. It's been a long time since we even had to even worry about any game being blacked out. You know, Robert Kraft bought this team in 1994, and the Patriots have not been blacked out ever since. So I can feel the pain. As a younger Patriots fan, I remembered the times when not all the games were televised. So that was difficult. But, again, here in the Patriots pregame social, Andy Hart and Paul Perilla with you, taking a look at the Tampa Bay Bucks tonight. We're going to take your phone calls. We're going to take your Facebook messages. We want to see some photos that you might want to send to us. Then maybe we can get them.
Show us your tweets.
We can get them up on the Facebook page. Kevin can do that. Matt helping him out in the background here. Right now, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to get to John in L.A. when we return.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place, shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Brats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto
Get
burger.
Inside the Patriots pregame social with Paul Barillo and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Paul and Andy from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Back here in the Patriots pregame social, Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. It's time now to head down to Tampa to check in with our out-of-town writer of the week. And I'm going to tell you right now, Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune, you have some very, very large shoes to fill. Our first ever out-of-town writer to join us on this program was Vito Stellino, longtime beat writer for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he joined us last week. Roy, are you with us?
Yes. Yes, I'm with you guys. I'm not sure I can
Well, we're gonna demand that you top that, because I words can't even describe how many different ways Vito yelled at Andy Hart and myself last week.
No, I'm not surprised by that. I'll try to be kinder at least. If I can do that, then maybe I'll somehow manage to match Vito. But boy, that's a tough act to follow.
Well, we're sort of intrigued by this young Bucks roster, and Belichick has talked about it all week. So many guys, I think 74 players age 25 or younger, a lot of high-profile first-round picks, especially on that defensive line. You know, how does this team look?
Yeah, it looks very young. He's absolutely right. You know, another number the Bucks will throw at you is they only got three guys on the roster. This is the roster of 90 now that are 30 years old or older. So it's a very young team, and they've spent, you're right, they've spent a lot of top draft picks. In fact, the first four picks over the last 2 years have all been on defensive linemen. So, you know, they're trying their hardest after they think they've built up a pretty good offense to try and build up a pretty good defense. And that starts up front. And so they've got Gerald McCoy and Daquan Bowers and Adrian Claiborne there. And they're hoping they can get after some people. So it's a young team and got a lot of spirit. And they're hoping it all comes through.
Obviously, they've invested on that defensive line, but we know here as well as anywhere that it starts with the quarterback. Josh Freeman obviously had that comeback kind of mentality last year and got the job done. Are you a believer in Josh Freeman as a franchise quarterback that can lead that team to where it wants to go?
Yeah, I really am. You know, I'm fortunate to see him every Sunday, and I've seen him grow now over the course of the last couple of years. And the thing I think that impresses me the most is just how calm and cool he is in those pressure situations, third down, fourth quarter. Obviously, he's a big player there and has been for a year and a half now. And you see him in the offseason grow as a leader. I mean, this is the guy who was getting everybody together, bringing them in from out of state, out of town, and getting them together for workouts here in the offseason and during the lockout. And he had his own little mini camp down at the IMG Academies in Sarasota. So, I mean, he just gets it. He's a guy that understands all the work that has to be involved in being a franchise type quarterback. He's not afraid of being a gym rat. He's not afraid to get in the film room. I mean, he really works at it. He's got tremendous leadership qualities, and you know what? He's a good kid too, and he's the kind of guy you root for. And right now it seems like the sky's the limit for him, and you really just hope the best for him.
What kind of weapons does he have to work with? I know that we know about is it Mike? Mike Williams. No, which
yeah, Mike Williams.
Mike Williams. Okay. What other weapons does he have to work with? And, you know, I know that offensive line has been a problem as well. Has that been shored up at all, Roy? I think we lost Roy. Well, that's unfortunate. Maybe we can get him back on the line. I'm interested to see, you know, just basically what I asked him. I know that the defense has used all those high picks, and Roy sort of detailed those, but you know,
but they've hit on the weapons. They found the weapons in the lower end. They took a chance with Mike Williams,
well, and
they
I know LeGarrette Blount. Yeah,
so they have guys. Ernest Graham, I think, is still there. You know, they took a guy late that I actually liked this year. I think he might have been undrafted actually, in Aurelius Ben. I think can be a receiver in this league. So you know, I think they have some guys, and they obviously Kellen Winslow.
I don't think Ben was undrafted. He was.
Oh, they did draft him?
He had a pretty good year last year. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think you're a year off there.
Oh. Is it the other guy I was thinking about? I don't know.
Yes, it was the other guy you were thinking about.
Aurelius Ben's out of Cincinnati?
No. No. Oh. You're thinking of,
He's out of Illinois?
You're thinking of Bins. Armon Bins. He was undrafted, I believe.
That's my guy. Where's
Armon Bins. I do not know. But Aurelius Ben, it was like a second round pick. Okay. I'm sorry, Kevin. He's on line two, you're saying? Okay. Roy, you with us again?
Yeah. I hear click.
Well,
cell phone.
As we said last week.
Yeah, that's what I'd go with if I were you too.
That's what I'm going to go with. Unfortunately, having some a little bit of a technical glitch there with Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune, but
guess he's goings for good.
And I know he's preparing, for the game, so he probably doesn't have all night to
deal with Kevin
and wait to do our little phone hit here. But
I didn't even get to ask about old PFW in progress friend Tyrone McKenzie, who's backing up at middle linebacker.
Yeah, and he is backing up. He is evidently Raheem Morris. Who's the guy? Because it was a rookie, I believe, that is starting
Mason
right
Foster.
Now. Mason Foster. That's exactly the name. he was asked last week, Raheem Morris was asked last week, Mason Foster was playing ahead of Tyrone McKenzie, and he flat out said he's had a better camp. He's playing better. So this is a second chance for McKenzie, a former third round pick.
Yep.
Not good there. But there is another Patriots old friend who is starting up front on the offensive line. That's Ted Larson. He's been a starting guard for them after he left here last year. He actually played, he started 11 games for the Bucs last year.
Yeah, a little more than half the season.
Yeah, so he cut on. He did a good job. And that's a team that struggled a little bit up front. And that's kind of where I was going with that question to Roy. But maybe another time. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll see the Tampa Bay Bucs somewhere in a game that's a little bit more meaningful.
Now, if my memory...
High praise for Josh Freeman, by the way.
...doesn't fail me. Josh Freeman's ascension was in London, right? Didn't he take over for Josh Johnson? Didn't he throw the picks to Merriweather and then they switched quarterbacks?
Josh Johnson threw the picks, yes. And Freeman,
I think Freeman came in.
I believe he got his debut. I think it was his debut.
And hasn't he been the starter since, or basically?
I believe that's accurate. I know that was... You know, somewhat early in his rookie year, maybe like 5 weeks in, 6 weeks in, that we went to London. Yeah, you're right. I think the first legitimate taste of playing time that he got was against the Patriots in London in 09.
Did better than the other guy.
Well, you know what? He's one of those guys that, I mean, I certainly missed on him. I didn't think he was that great. Physically, what I saw, he was a big, strong kid, obviously, but I didn't think that he wowed me with a lot of things that he did. But what he does have... By all accounts, and certainly Roy just backed this up, there's a lot of intangibles. He's a leader. He's a solid individual. I think that he, much like Tom Brady, I think he understands the role of quarterback, not just the physical role and not just reading defenses, doing all those things, which you have to do, but I think he understands how to lead a team, and I think that's probably his biggest strength.
So maybe not this year on the Bucs end, but maybe for – next year's Super Bowl, should I predict Jets, Bucks, Sanchez, Freeman? Similar styles where the numbers aren't always going to be great, but when the game's on the line, they seem
sure
to make plays.
Why not?
I'm predicting it. Next year's Super Bowl, Bucks, Jets. Plus, it has a nice ring to it. Bucks, Jets. Oh, nice.
Yeah, Andy.
The fuzz in my headphones went out.
Andy, the Jets in the Super Bowl has a nice ring to it. That'll definitely endear you to the crowd. Here on the Patriots pregame social.
No, I mean the ring to it, you idiot.
Yeah.
It's four letters and four letters.
I'm going to get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline
course,
right
Pats
now.
Pats has four letters, too.
Yeah. I'm going to head out to one of our favorite all-time listeners, and that's John in L.A. John, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right.
If
doing all right
we could have kept
here.
Our guest on the phone line, we would have done better, but...
I know, really. I'm very excited, by the way, to be on the Ace Ticket Hotline in the Subway Fresh
broadcast studios.
To help give a little plug.
You do it better than Paul does it.
Well, I noticed that it didn't happen so much last time, so I figured when I called in, I would mention it.
Plus, you're used to reading things, all those years of reading the specials off the menus at the restaurants you worked at.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy. that's why you shouldn't align yourself with a bad guy. Go ahead, John.
So I'm excited for the game. It should be certainly more of a test than last week. I'm wondering... who are you planning on jinxing this week? Because, you didn't jinx Price in terms of how we played in the game, but who's going to have a big game this week and then get hurt right at the end?
Well, we don't have to have the negative view towards it. We can just say who's going to have the big game this week and drop the last part of that sentence off. And
who are you looking for, Andy? Who are you feeling today?
Well, I am feeling Rob Gronkowski based on the fact that he's been the best player on the offense in training camp. He's going to get his preseason debut, and we know he is an excitable young man, so I don't think it matters to him that it's week two of the preseason. He's going to be going out there trying to put on a show for his friends and his family. So I'm looking Rob Gronkowski. Big game.
The number one thing I want to see tonight is exactly how they go about playing defense. I want to see if Vince Wilfork is penetrating. I want to see if Gerard Mayo is, as Andy talked about early in the show, where exactly he's lined up, what he's doing in pass coverage, if he's playing a little bit further away from the ball, as he has been every day in camp. I want to see the nature of the defense. Anything for you?
Can you guys tell me, in terms of Price, do we think it's an ankle thing or do we think it's a head thing?
I couldn't even give you the first clue.
I've seen reports of the ankle. I can't believe it's the head because they allowed him to go back in. He caught a slant shortly thereafter.
Right.
So unless it was a, I don't even know if you can have these, but like some sort of a delayed reaction to a hit in terms of the head or a concussion, I have to assume it's a leg type injury that has been reported a little bit.
Well, if it's a leg type injury that happened in the game, it didn't seem like much of anything. So hopefully they're just being cautious.
That's my hope. And as I said, I know I'm putting probably a little too much stock in this in the modern era, but he was tweeting how excited he was for game day today, and I wouldn't think he'd be all excited if he was watching a game that was going to lead to him ending up on IR or something. So his excitement excites me.
It also goes along with, I mean, I could just be reading too much into it, but it seems like Belichick has had, and maybe there are other coaches who did this too, but has had a real sort of like conscious effort to try to figure out how is the best way to manage this whole situation with the lockout and the and these games just sort of more carefully in a different way than you've had to in the past. And I wonder if, I mean, maybe not so much with Price, but with some of the other things going on, not just the Haynesworth thing, but just generally not playing any of many of the veterans.
Yeah,
starters last week. They're just like really carefully managing it in a different way.
I think he is definitely managing a lot of things. I think there's a lot of balls in the air. The Price one worries me, though, in particular, because he's a guy that fell behind last year and struggled, you know, to know the offense and the playbook. And they're adding plays. There's installation going on in these weeks that he's missing. And I know he studied it in the offseason. He felt comfortable with it, but I am concerned if he misses an extended period here into next week that he could fall behind, and then all of a sudden he can't catch up again, and it's red shirt year two.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, John. Really appreciate it, as always. You are one of our more loyal fans and have been there for us throughout the year, so we do appreciate that. We're gonna stick to the Ace Ticket Hotline, Andy, because right now the phone calls are pouring in. Anthony,
as Joey predicted,
Anthony is in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Paulie, was that a dig at me?
No, for what?
Well, you said loyal, one of our most loyal, so I feel like...
Well, you're one of our most loyal, too. I'm like Bill Belichick. You can decipher a lot of things from the words that I say.
Yeah, but I felt like it was a dig because you...
No, it wasn't
upset.
A dig at all.
Well, if you let me finish, it seemed like you were a little upset last week that I call the sports hub, and I get on Felger a little bit.
I did hear him on the sports hub. Did I tell you that, Andy?
No.
Calls into Felger. He was cheating on us.
He's misleading again, and that's what drives me to this phone call today. I feel like you guys are my therapist for Felger. But, first of all, I get this question here. You know how they restructure teams with deal.
Yes.
And it's probably going to be about $5 million if he hits all those bonuses, obviously. Article that came out, and they figure the Pats are underneath the cap about like 9.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
From what the article says. Now, do they figure that cap number, or does the NFL figure that cap number with the base salary that Haynesworth has, or do they figure it, do they already add up the total in case of the bonus?
I believe it is not including that.
Not including. So, when he's bitching and moaning about, as in Felger, that they're $9 million underneath the cap. Look at all the room that they got. He's not counting the dollars that perhaps that there could be several players that might hit bonuses. So they need that cap space. Am I not mistaken?
Some of that goes on the following year's cap, because if those are labeled, and I don't know the whole new CBA, all the ramifications, rules, and tidbits, but not likely to be earned bonuses, which I think those would fall under because they're playing time incentives, and he didn't play all that much last year in Washington. I can't imagine he was over 40% of the snaps in Washington last year.
Right.
So I think some of that money is deemed not likely to be earned. That doesn't go on the books. Things that are expected to be earned do go on the books. But again, this is uncharted waters, as they say, in this new CBA. And I don't know the specifics of it, but it could include some of that, but I don't think it includes all of it.
Yeah. I just figured, the Pats, would comfortably want to be a good, like, $3 to $4 million underneath the salary cap. So
well, you need space for stuff that happens, Anthony. You're absolutely right. You need, because you never know how many injuries you're going to get. You never know the caliber of player you're going to have to acquire. And obviously, the stuff that you brought up is relevant too. All the incentives. So you're absolutely right. You can't just go right to the edge of the cap, in August and expect to survive for the whole season. You're right.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is just like, you know, another one of his complaints is like, oh, yeah, I thought there was a salary floor because, you know, he brings up Tampa about like, $25 million underneath the cap.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, again, they have a time limit, which is, I believe, until the end of the year.
The end of the year.
Get
right?
to the floor.
And it's also these new salary floors are not individual.
No.
They're averages for the league.
Exactly.
The league as a whole has to be at 99%.
Oh, yeah, the
32 teams have to spend to 99%
right.
of the cap.
Now, I don't know how they're going to enforce that.
I don't know how, because if I'm Buffalo, I'm saying, hey, I'm down here at 70% of the cap. You guys can do whatever you want right. to get it up to 99.
So I don't know. Again, there's a lot of...
Do they draw straws, you think?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns in the CBA, and I haven't seen... Even these experts, Andrew Brandt and these other guys, I haven't seen them delve into a lot of this stuff, to me, that are still question marks on how this is going to be run and managed.
Do you think maybe they go by, like, media market or just, like, revenue as in each team? Like, maybe the Pats and obviously those top echelon teams will probably be expected spend over that floor.
Yeah,
and maybe that'll raise it.
I'm sure there's going to be some of that.
I wish
but,
I had a definitive answer.
Right.
I think some of this is new, and even the teams are sort of working through a lot of it. And certainly, even in the best of times, Andy and I are not by any means CBA experts.
But we'll ask these questions. We'll get these answers for you in the coming weeks because we'll ask these.
Hey, and I got a proposition, not a proposition, but a proposal, okay. I guess, for you guys.
Quickly. Oh, I don't want you to get mad at me, but quickly.
And not really an original idea, but I want to take the format in which the NFL Network has. At the end of the week, during the regular season, they'll have an AFC side and an NFC side where they break down film.
Playbook.
Games.
Yep.
I want you guys to do that with Zoe, but just be 20 minutes or maybe like half an hour Patriots geared. I want you to break it all down, get the coaches film. And I want you guys' opinion along with Zoe. What are the chances of that happening?
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah.
Not very good because we're not going to get access to the coaches' film. They keep that pretty under tight wraps. Even when they use it for all access, it's a limited snippet that they're Belichick.
No, it's only what they want you to see.
Not really the coaches' film, but you know when they show all 11 on either side, and then like you guys can break down plays. Do you guys know about the two shows that I'm talking about on
yes.
NFL Network?
But
yes.
The NFL Network has complete access to all NFL
to every
films
game.
And every coaching tape. We actually have interns that have worked here that work there with some of that footage. We do not have access to that.
Oh my God, you guys are getting ripped off.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
We've been trying to get that stuff for the college kids for our draft prep every year, and we can't get it for that either.
That's ridiculous. Because I would love you, like obviously you guys take along with Fred. If Eric's in there, no big deal. You know? But obviously, and the reason why I picked Zoe, obviously, you know, you guys have a great relationship with him.
And I have some good stories.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's pretty darn funny, and obviously he can break down film. I don't count on you guys to do, you know, all the intricacies like that he could. No offense.
Oh, I think I could teach him a thing or two.
I'm pretty sure I could.
Oh, and one last thing, guys. Andy, actually, I was thinking of you last weekend because my fiance, you know, she wanted to see, obviously, you know, the Adam Sandler movie with Brooklyn Decker, Just Go With It?
Yep.
Yeah, she's overrated.
What are you talking about? Thank you.
Well done, Kevin. I dropped him right as you blew him up. That was perfect. Anybody that makes a comment like that needs to be blown up. I'm going to hit to the emails a little bit, Andy, because we've been a little bit in neglect of the emails right now. So I want to hit those right now. Gene is in Daytona Beach, another Florida.
Mean Gene.
Sorry to hear that Vito will not be on. I doubt if the Tampa guys will be that colorful. And unfortunately, Roy was doing very well. Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune, but we lost him.
Right up until Kevin made him goings.
When we talk to Eric later, by the way, let's make sure that we tell him to find Roy Cummings in the press
apologize.
Box. Apologize.
I left him a message.
Love the show and glad to see you guys have loosened up this week and are more fired up. I didn't feel like we were tight last week, did we? Anyway,
yeah, I might be a little looser.
I am pretty down right now. I just found out I will not be able to watch the game live. If I knew that, I would have gone to Tampa. I'm 150 miles away.
You got time? Gun it.
Wait a minute. So shouldn't you be able to watch? I'm 150 miles away from Tampa and thought I would get to see the game since the blackout radius is 75 miles, but no. Well, that's too bad. He has some picks for rookie stars this week. Number one is Will Yeatman.
Yep,
a gentleman
I agree.
That you're going to introduce to the fans of Patriots Football Weekly in the upcoming issue in our Getting to Know segment.
The Yater.
Number two is Richard Medlin, who had a couple of touchdowns off the bench last week.
I'm not feeling so good about that one.
Number three, Ryan Mallett, who was impressive. He has some predictions here. Let's see, 75 yards and two touchdowns for Yateman, 105 yards and two touchdowns for Medlin.
No chance.
205 yards and three touchdowns and a quarterback rating of 115 for Mallett.
How many yards for Yateman?
75.
No chance.
Patriots 41, Bucks 10.
Wow.
So saith Mean Gene Okerlund in Daytona
Beach. I
got
to think the fan tab rating will go up a little bit if they score 40-plus in their first two preseason games and blow two teams out from Florida.
We have another one here. KB is in Atlanta. He has some pregame social questions. He wants you to know, Andy, that he is also on the Taylor Price bandwagon.
Welcome aboard.
And
plenty
Andy,
of room.
And Andy is being very welcoming this week. He's letting any and all comers on. Anyway, not sure if you guys know anything about this, but can Vince get suspended or fined if he took money from Miami during the college days?
No.
And obviously what he's referring to is the scathing report out this week on Yahoo by Charles Robinson.
Yes.
Wonderfully in-depth piece about just some absolute ridiculous behavior by a booster of the Miami Hurricanes program. 72
that
former,
he named.
That he named involved. Vince Wilfork was one of them.
How do you think he remembered all 72?
Horrible. Well, I bet you he has some detailed...
No, but if these parties and things were as big as kind of it sounds like, I got to think there were other guys, you know, lower roster guys who just tagged along, that there could be even more involved.
Yeah, but weren't some of them lower guys that just tagged along? Some of the ones that
yeah,
implicated?
No. But I'm saying I find it hard to believe he can remember every person that ever went to his party,
well, and wasn't there,
went on his yacht.
And wasn't there a photo that they had with the story that they couldn't identify
yeah,
one of the players?
Yeah, they had some. But Wilfork was definitely at the center of it. The report indicated he was given a lump sum cash payment of $50,000 and two Escalades to sign with Access Sports and Entertainment, which actually is the company that negotiated his rookie contract with the Patriots. And Michael
Hugh,
who's actually now the commissioner of the UFL, was the co-owner of that with this Shapiro guy, and he negotiated Vince Wilfork's rookie deal. But this is an ugly story, not so much for Vince Wilfork, in my opinion, or the Patriots, but for the NCAA college athletics. And, you know, the phrase death penalty is being thrown around, that Miami could get the death penalty, which obviously SMU got, including ties to New England again with Craig James and everything that went on down there and the coach.
Let's see. Todd is up next, and he wants to know. He's from Newfoundland, by the way. I am so pumped that football is back. Quick question. I heard rumors out there that Ocho and Albert may be cut at the roster trim down. Thoughts? Andy, I want you to tackle that one.
I think there is less than zero chance that Ocho Cinco will be cut. And I think there's a 0.1 chance that Albert Haynesworth will get cut. That was a story on National Football Post from Dan Pompey, who is a well-known journalist in the National Football League. I think he worked for one of the Chicago papers for a long time. May still work there, actually. And that was in his Sunday Notes column, and he basically was quoting a personnel man from another team who knows the Patriots' way of business, and that guy speculated that Bill Belichick could send a message to his locker room by cutting one of those two players that they acquired basically a month earlier. I think there's no chance that Ocho Cinco restructured his contract and was given $4.5 million bonus. I don't see any way they eat that, you know, a couple weeks after they actually made that maneuver. And Haynesworth seems like they're managing his situation, and they like everything, if you take Bill at his word, everything he's done since he's been here.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. It makes no sense.
There's no chance. Definitely with the $4.5 million, but no chance. I think that either one of those guys gets cut before the season starts. Barring some unforeseen off-field incident, ugly, ugly off-field incident between now and the start of the season. Guy is in the UK. You might remember Guy, Andy. He was
the one, or Guy?
He's the one who broke his leg the night before the Jets game. Jets playoff game. Remember that long story?
Yeah.
On PFW in Progress. He has some confidence that he wants to show us. We're going 15-1 this year. We're going to split with the Jets. Love the show. Love you, chaps. So Guy says 15-1. So he's almost as confident as Fred Kirsch.
Right. He's a game short.
So a lot of emails coming in, which I love. The phone lines is still buzzing, which I love. I want to remind everybody, get on that Facebook page. We have some polls up, Kevin. The polls are up.
How are those polls going?
We're going to check in with some of those and get some stats on those when we come back. But we have 1 hour in the books in the Patriots pregame social, but we've only just begun.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit. The Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Capoletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mo Si Fatupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mo Si Fatupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Planning a tailgate party of your own for this week's Patriots game? We want to hear from you. Tune in to the Patriots pregame social before every Patriots game and be part of the show. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. The Patriots pregame social, live every game on the Patriots Facebook page.
Back inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios.
Subway Fresh broadcast studios.
Here at Gillette Stadium, Andy Hart and Paul Perillo with you on our Facebook page. I am curious to see what the fans think of the following poll that Kevin is going to read right now.
A lot of action on the Facebook page tonight. We had a poll up earlier before the show started about which starter or potential starter are Patriot fans most excited to see for tonight. The choices were Brady, Mayo, Ocho Cinco, Gronk, and Will Fork. What would you have thought the fans would want to see?
Most excited to see out of those?
Yeah.
Mayo.
Ocho. 51% of the vote went to Ocho.
I agree.
It was a landslide.
So it should be.
Mayo.
I'm not going to lie.
Mayo actually.
Didn't hear Ocho.
Mayo got 0%. It's funny that he guessed Mayo.
I'm not going to lie, though.
Okay, you weren't paying any attention.
No. I heard Gronk, Brady, Mayo. I missed Ocho.
Okay, I'm sorry.
My bad.
The other one that we threw up after the show started was which standout from the first game are you most interested in seeing again? So pretty much like who stood out from last game that you want to see do well in the second game.
And Dane.
No surprise there. It was Stephen Ridley leading the way with 30%.
Dane was one of the ones that I put down on that, though.
Dane got 2%. Brian Hoyer, 26%. Ryan Mallett, 34%.
Andy, it's time.
It's all about offense.
It's time, Andy. It's a show and a half we've done with kid gloves. What is wrong with you people?
Offense.
2% for Dane Fletcher?
Offense is sexy. That's what
Chicks
Andy said.
Dig the long ball. No
that's,
question.
That's true.
Let's
that's
be honest.
It.
No
I'm
one
sorry.
Cares about linebackers and what they're doing unless they're picking off passes or something like that. They're more of the lump sum. Ooh, the guy's 150-tackle linebacker. But I do have breaking news off our Twitter feed.
I was just going to set you up on that one. Tee you up, as they say in the biz. What do you got?
I
got
to scroll down. Give me a minute. I'm new to this.
Next time, let me tee you up.
I'm new to this tweet deck thing. Well, it moved.
Oh.
Gresham Zoe, which is the count of Scott Zolak, at Gresham Zoe. I don't know why it's at Gresham Zoe when I know for a fact it's Zoe that tweets him, I believe, I think. Solder will play three quarters tonight, they are tweeting. And obviously, Scott Zolak is the sideline reporter for the broadcast.
May
locally.
Have some inside information coming out of the broadcast.
Does an
production
interview
meeting.
With Bill Belichick the night before, things of that nature. So, interesting that Gresham Zoe are tweeting that Solder will play three quarters. It was retweeted by Greg Bedard, who then followed up with, guess Brady can't play for three quarters then because wouldn't want him to be behind Solder. Sorry, Greg. We like you.
I didn't know that that Greg had said that.
He may not have.
I know a lot of people have, though. I know on EEI they were saying that a lot. Local sports radio here in Boston, John Dennis, Dale Arnold, to call out a couple of individuals that were saying it. Matter of fact, they said they didn't think that Brady would play until Matt Light was ready to go. So that's obviously not going to be the case.
So hypothetically speaking, what if Matt Light were re-injured and couldn't play to open the season? They're not.
Well,
going
to
play
Brady?
Well, that's
my point. I got news for people. If they didn't re-sign Matt Light, they would be playing.
Country road.
They still would play if they didn't re-sign Matt Light. They would play a game. You know, as Bill says, you know what? We don't have to, but if we had to play a game, we could. We have enough players. And before I let him wait too much longer here, I want to get back to the Ace Ticket hotline here inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studio.
What week do you think you'll actually do this and it'll be smooth and natural?
Never. I think that's part of the allure.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I think it's part of the annoy.
Well, I'm sorry, here inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios in Gillette Stadium, I'm going to hit to Greg from the billing department. Greg, how you doing? Sorry about
not
that wait.
What's up, guys?
We're
not
doing
much.
Great.
How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. I actually called in because I couldn't figure out how to listen to you guys live, and
great.
Then I realized that I was supposed to go to the Patriots Facebook page, not the PFW Facebook page.
Yes.
So I just figured I'd listen until you guys threw me on air. So I like it. I like it so far. You guys are fantastic. Last week, I wish that that Jacksonville guy would have came back on again this week just to hear him complain about it.
You know what? Maybe we can call him and see if he'll join us every week.
We should just do an Andy prank and just have him like prank call him. You know, hey, this is whoever. You know, I feel
jackass.
Like
Del Rio sucks.
You would just hear him doing that the entire time. It would be great.
Kind of hurts. I'm not going to lie. It kind of hurts a little that we're not the stars of our own show. Vito Stellino is the star of our show.
He definitely stole the show.
No, you guys are the stars. It's just it's nice to have him in there because we're all laughing at him while you guys sit there and interview him. Come on.
We were kind of laughing at him, too.
I know. I heard it. You hear the little chuckle throughout the conversation with him.
And a little behind the scenes that you can visualize. Eric and Fred were up in the press box, and Fred had the show playing on his iPhone, and Vito Stellino was sitting in front of him doing the interview, and then once he got off and we were making fun of him, Fred had to turn his iPhone down because he didn't want Vito to hear us making fun of him.
Not that he could have heard us anyway.
Right, not that he would have had any idea what was going on.
Greg, anything big for you tonight?
I wanted to know, like, which of the starters are going to be playing tonight? Is everyone who didn't play last week going to be playing, or everyone who got sat out?
Provided that they're healthy and ready to play.
Right.
I don't think you're not going to see Haynesworth. You're not going to see Matt Light.
Jimmy.
James Sanders. But, the other guys, Devin McCourty, Lee Bodden, Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork, Andre Carter on defense. I think you'll see all those guys. Certainly Tom Brady, Wes Welker, Deion Branch, Chad Ochocinco.
Gronkowski,
you're going to see all those guys on offense. Benny. Yeah.
Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
And,
so definitely start. You want to make sure you see the beginning of this one because that's more than likely when you'll get a chance to see those guys play.
I don't even think I'm going to be able to get it. I'm down here in South Florida, so I mean, I don't think we're blacked out from it. But
where there's a will and an internet connection, there's a way.
Hey, all this time,
yeah.
I thought
don't
you.
Worry.
All this that time, I thought you were in Foxborough working in the billing department.
Oh, if I was, I wouldn't be complaining about the money I don't make here.
You'd be complaining about the money you don't make here.
Yeah, you would be.
All right, Greg.
Thanks for the call, Greg. That's tough. You just shattered a myth for a young lad. I want to hit this quick one here, Chris. On back to the emails here. Great job, guys, with the ultimate super internet pregame social my face tailgate virtual extravaganza. Thanks. That hit everything that Fred wants you guys to say. I'm writing because I am outraged. I live in Connecticut, and they are not showing the Pats game. Can you believe this? What gives? Eagles game is on about four different channels. Another reason why I miss living in Massachusetts. Are there any other ways I can watch this game? Please help me out. All you guys are amazing. Love the show. Can't wait. Go Pats. That's Chris in Wethersfield, Connecticut. How can he watch the game? It was they're all on the online, right? NFL.com preseason. They're showing them all on the
I believe so
on the computer. So
if not, some of our friends over at PFWinProgress.com could probably help you out as well if you needed something.
That's one way. But we were also very excited to have this Patriots pregame social be part of all of our various fan clubs. And right now we have our fan club of the week is headed up by Damien over in the UK. So this is the reach that this program has already, Andy. Damien, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Well, what is going on, and how are you organizing your fan club tonight?
It's a bit scattered at the moment because obviously we all live all across the UK. I'm literally just going to sit in my flat on my own and watch it, stay up late tonight and watch the game myself, as a lot of the other people will be doing.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah, we usually have the odd meet up, over the course of the season for normal games for those of us that live close together in bundles. We have our annual Super Bowl party as well, where we all get together and watch the Super Bowl, regardless of who's playing. And we also have our annual road trip where we fly over to Boston to come watch the Patriots play live.
That's right, and visit the PFW boys.
Yep. Unfortunately, I wasn't there last year, and I won't be there this year either. So
why?
I'm missing out on that, but. You know, we'll be bringing a good following over this year to watch Kansas City.
Very strong following in the UK. I think that's one of the bigger fan clubs and certainly the more passionate fan clubs in the world.
I did
literally
did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it quite fitting, actually, that I come and talk to you before the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, because the last time we played Tampa Bay, you guys came over to us.
That's right.
Correct.
We were on your turf.
Yeah, exactly. We hosted quite a few events. For you guys, we had the flag football game down in London.
That was awesome.
Andy and I went to that.
Where all those deer were roaming.
I met you guys at the end of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was the guy playing QB in the West Welkertop.
Oh, yes, Governor.
Yeah, so... So we had the pregame party as well, which was great fun, where Kraft showed up. Troy Brown.
Yes. What was the name of that place?
Oh, no, that was the other one.
Kraft and Mayo go together. Winter?
There was the night one at the sports cafe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the sports cafe. Yeah.
And then there was another one in the pregame, right?
There was lots of pregame stuff going on. The NFL UK have their own official tailgate down by the stadium, but we had a gathering together at the Green Man Pub, just down the way from Wembley.
Yeah.
And that's hosted by the Colchester Gladiators American Football Club in the UK, and they get quite a few hundred people down there tailgating it up, drinking some beer. Where there's some stalls to buy NFL merchandise, stuff like that.
How often do you get over here, Damien?
I've only been over the once myself. I came over in 2008 to watch the Rams game, and then the second game I got to watch live was obviously the Tampa Bay game at Wembley. But like I say, as a fan club, we've come over every year since 2004.
Right.
And
yep.
quite a few of our fan members come over and make regular trips every year.
Well, thanks for checking in with us, Damien, and enjoy the game tonight. Any one particular thing you're looking for?
I'm really interested to see, like you guys were just talking about, Nate Solder coming in for three quarters against, he came in against, second and third stringers in last week's game. So it'd be interesting to see how he fares against, the bulk of the Tampa Bay starters.
I agree. That'll be another young player to keep an eye on tonight. And
Claiborne versus Solder.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to speak to you guys about. There's a lot of talk, obviously, on Twitter and a lot of fan clubs that, about Merriweather. Now, the Patriots obviously have been working out a few safeties. There's a lot of people obviously jumping on the hate bandwagon for Brandon Merriweather because he has these few bonehead plays. But I'm just interested to see what you guys think, because I personally don't think we're trading Merriweather. I think we're going with him for his contract year.
Thanks for the call, Damien, and enjoy the game tonight.
But I think if anyone were to offer anything that was in any way intriguing, they would. The issue right now is you don't have a lot of depth at the position. James Sanders... he's dealing with the injury, hasn't practiced, started on an NFI and practiced for a day or two and has been out since. Patrick Chung is obviously an entrenched starter, but now you're to the point where Sergio Brown is your primary backup and even getting rotational reps with Merriweather and Chung.
Yeah,
Josh Barrett is hurt. So I don't know if you can afford to trade him at this point.
It's one of those things. I think they would if they could, but they can't, so they won't.
Paul Perillo summed it up like a third grader.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going for.
I know.
I feel they would like to improve that area. I think it's pretty clear what they're doing. And if they could, I think that they would do something other than have Brandon Merriweather start the season as one of their primary safeties. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he will be. And I think this will be his final year.
Oh, God, yeah.
Big Bang Club.
I don't think there's much chance of him being back next year.
In New England. I want to get back to the emails here in a moment. Let's see. I think we have Mark in Cheddar, and he loves the show.
Thank you, Mark.
He says, hello, Paul and Mr. Draft.
I'm also Mr. Season as well.
Mr. Season?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't just dominate in the spring, in the winter.
You could not ask for better hosts.
Oh, I could.
All about the fans.
A guy
fans.
Who can say, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios
sake.
Without
he
stopping.
He said hosts. That was you, too, you know.
Oh.
Hosts, he said. You're such an evil, evil little man.
Just read the email.
With a large, large head.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
And the leader of this band is willing to kill a guy who disrespects the Patriots.
It's true.
That's why we love you, Paul. I am going to be watching the game live, legally, from Cheddar, England, via NFL Game Pass. So that's a way.
Well, good for you.
That's a way that some of our listeners can see this. Sorry to say, no Miller Lite, though. That's too bad.
They don't have that over there.
That's too bad. He has a few questions.
One. Just kidding.
Which Patriots player will be the most disappointing tonight? Wow. That's an Andy-like question.
Really is. Based on the previous email or a couple emails ago, Richard Medlin, because I don't expect him to have 100 and something yards. I'll be intrigued to see what Ridley does as well, because he scored 3 touchdowns last week. He also had a lot of runs that were 3 yards, 2 yards, 1 yards, no gain. So I need to see, you know, Brady and Belichick
planted
have been
probably against a better caliber
yes,
player tonight.
But Belichick
too.
And Brady have been preaching consistency. That's what you need to see from some of these guys. Ridley would be one of them.
By the end of the game, who will have more interceptions, the Patriots' defensive players or their offensive players? Thanks to Buddy Farnham, offense is up 1-0.
Oh, yes. Bill Belichick loved that.
Yes.
Got a little chuckle out of it.
All right, here's a more serious one. Who makes more of an impression today, Darius Butler or Jonathan Wilhite?
Oh, that's a great one. Now, are we talking about good impression or bad impression? Since this is Mark and he had a very negative tone to start the email. I don't think either guy's going to make a great impression. I think that's their problem.
I think they're both hanging on.
But not even to the point where you can just say, okay, they stink, they're done.
No.
They're just kind of hanging on.
They don't stink. They don't stink, but right. I don't think either one of them is ever going to be a frontline NFL starting cornerback.
Right.
That's just how I feel. I don't think they're without talent. I think they are what they are. They're Jags.
Well, they also play the toughest position on the field, in my opinion.
You're right about that. But, Mark, thanks for that email and gave us some stuff to think about. I have some games here, too, Andy, I wanted to get to. I printed this one out from Mike in Rhode Island before the show started. This is a little over-under action for you.
Okay.
Tom Brady-led drives tonight, 3.
2, under.
Ocho Cinco targets, 4.
Over.
Rob Gronkowski TDs, 1.
Push.
Pat's turnovers on defense, 2. That's created turnovers.
Push.
Stephen Ridley receptions, 4.
Under.
Pat's team sacks, 3.
Over.
I'm going to go under on that one. Trick plays attempted, including fake punts, onsides, both teams combined, 1.
Under.
I agree. Aaron Hernandez cases of the dropsies, 1.
Under.
Andre Carter quarterback pressures and sacks combined, 2.5.
Over.
Nico Kudavides, special teams tackles against his last team, 1.
Push.
Either or, who takes the field first, Merriweather or Serge Brown?
Merriweather.
I agree. Who takes the field first, Jonathan Wilhite or Darius Butler?
Butler.
I'm going to say Butler too, but it would be Belichick-like to say Wilhite there because Butler played so much the last game, but judging by practice, it's been Butler.
But what if Butler returs a kick?
Special teams, field. You are correct. You are correct. You went by the letter of the law.
But
who starts
Wilhite
at left tackle?
Covers.
We already talked about that. It'll be Solder. Who has a better game, Will Yateman or Lee Smith?
Will Yateman.
I think Yateman has moved past Lee Smith, by the way, in the very unofficial jockeying for the third tight end spot. Who has a better game, Adrian Claiborne or Daquan Bowers?
Claiborne.
I agree. Who gets more playing time, Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett? Last one's interesting.
Mallett.
All right. Thanks for sending those in, Mike. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on still with this game tonight because there are as many things that we think we're going to see. There are still a lot of unknowns with some of the different players. And, you know, a guy that I think is a big-time unknown, Andy, we're talking a lot about Andre Carter, and I agree, really excited about him. Really, I've been intrigued watching him. What about Mark Anderson? Because I think he flashed a little bit last week, too.
He did. He had a couple pressures that were nice.
And he's had some plays on the practice field that have led me to believe that maybe he could be maybe not as consistent as Carter. He hasn't certainly had anywhere near as good a career as Carter has. But maybe he could factor into this pass rush mix.
Well, I think Carter's going to be an every-down player for this team or,
agreed,
you know, 70-80% snap kind of guy. I do not think that Mark Anderson is going to be that. In the role we've seen him in for much of camp, he's been a nickel guy. And Eric Moore or one of those guys comes off the field and Anderson comes on to rush. That was obviously the scouting report when they got him, that he's a guy that simply cannot play the run. We've seen him get killed in practice trying to play the run. So he may just be a situational rusher at defensive end there. But we've seen him flash a little bit. He seems to have some pass rush ability. The one concern is, what's he been doing for 4 years? You know, you have 12 and a half sacks, and he said, you know, you see how hard it is, how much you have to work to do that.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done it since. So,
you're right.
You know, he's a question mark. He's a guy that I think could either have a role on this team as a rotational pass rusher sub guy or could get cut.
We're going to be checking in with PFW's own Eric Scalavino shortly, but Fred Kirsch passes along a few things. He's hearing that it's going to be two quarterbacks tonight for Belichick, Brady and Mallett, which is not a surprise based on the amount of second-team reps we've seen Mallett get this week. So that's something that we've alluded to in the blog all week long.
I'm mildly surprised, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, I just thought based on what we had seen, that was shaping up to be the case.
Yeah, I saw Hoyer take a lot of reps this week that I guess didn't matter, or other people didn't.
Yeah, there was one practice that he didn't get any.
No, I know. And then the very next day, they split them evenly. And then the very next day, Mallett didn't get a real rep to save his life. Mallett was running drills down for the offensive lineman with Dante Scarnecchia when real team was playing over here. So I didn't see the huge difference there that other people did. But, you know, I'm happy to see Mallett play. No offense to Brian Hoyer, but he's a far more intriguing guy to watch play. And physically, you know, watching him throw the football is fun.
Sure. And as of just a couple of minutes ago, Freddie says that Brady was out there with a lot of the other quarterbacks and receivers are out there, but he hadn't seen Ocho yet. So,
interesting.
You know, we'll see. Bill wants to chime in. Bill Jones. I can't even listen to the damn feed. I hate Facebook and Andy Hart.
Well, screw you, Bill.
I like that.
Well, Facebook and Andy Hart are taking over the world, so suck it.
Facebook has taken over the world.
I'm not supposed to say that. Sorry. Tune in on Tuesday, and I'll say that to you on Tuesday. I'm allowed to say that on that show.
Let's see. Giovanni is in Chandler, Arizona. Loves the pregame social. Who doesn't? You guys are awesome,
that
as always.
That guy just said he hates me, Facebook, and everything else.
Quick question about Mike Wright. I know that his concussion last year was pretty bad. How is he, and what kind of role do you think he'll play, and what kind of numbers/production should we expect out of him this season?
Haven't seen him.
It's really hard. Really hard one. I don't know that the issue that's keeping him away from the practice field right now is concussion related. It may be. I have seen him recently doing some jogging on the practice fields with the rest of the rehabbing players. I don't know if that means it's impossible to know exactly what it means. I mean, you're just speculating, but it's a major, major concern if that has anything to do with any lingering effects from the concussion that kept him out of the last half of 2010.
I know we continue to have some technological issues, including that young man or old man. Warren Ladd, our good friend from across the pond, checks in and says, you can listen via iTunes Live. You don't need Facebook. Although we'd like you to listen on Facebook and interact with the community and take part in the polls and the wall and all that. You can listen on iTunes Live. So listen there.
That's right. So, Bill, listen. You have some other ways. You're a big boy. You can figure this out. You can stop taking your shots at Andy Hart. It's not that hard. You can figure it out.
Paul, I get another tweet.
Fred says, by the way, that Ocho is now on the field.
Oh, good.
Okay, go ahead.
So breaking news from the breaking news department. Mike Reese says, by the way, the Patriots are in blue uniforms with silver pants tonight. The Buccaneers are in white uniforms with white pants.
That's breaking news, huh?
No. Okay. Somebody wants to know our opinions on Eli Manning's comments about being in the same caliber of quarterback as Tom Brady.
A little silly. I do think, and Andy and I talked about this a little bit, there are ways to answer that question without seeming like you're being subservient. Obviously you give a lot of praise to Tom Brady, who is one of the most decorated quarterbacks in football today. You can do that without saying that you're not that good or you're not the leader of your team. I think he fell into a trap where he felt like he had to come out and say something that was really a statement to his team, that he's the guy that leads the Giants and he takes a backseat to nobody, which is good for the Giants. But I think he made himself look a little silly by putting himself in the class of his brother and Tom Brady, which he's not. He is definitely in that second tier guy behind, Rodgers and Brady and Manning and Philip Rivers and probably even like Roethlisberger and some of those guys. I think Eli Manning is a good quarterback. I really do. I think he's a talented quarterback.
I think he's Matt Light of quarterbacks.
But he is not. He is absolutely not in that upper tier where he, I guess, claimed he was.
Yeah, I just think he should have said, I don't worry about comparing myself to other people. I'm just trying to be the best Eli Manning I can be, and hopefully that's good enough for the New York Giants, and I can lead them back to another Super Bowl title.
Absolutely. That's what he should have done.
And I would have emphasized another.
Let's head out to Tampa right now, because we have the world-famous Eric Scalavino waiting patiently to chime in with what's going on. Eric, how you doing?
Not too bad, guys. If you hear some loud noises in the background, it's because they're
Vito Stellino,
the Tampa broadcast through the speakers here. So I might not be able to hear you too well now and then, but just bear with me.
I thought Vito Stellino might have gotten lost on his way to Jacksonville.
No sign of him yet, but we are in his territory.
I'll keep an eye out.
Said Vito Scalavino.
Vito Scalavino. First and foremost, Eric, before we get to anything of lesser importance, is the spread in the Tampa press box as strong as it always has been, number one in football?
As advertised, Paul, and I was just on the bus right over here, I was telling one of our PR guys, Aaron Sulkin, about how great the spread is, because he hadn't been here in a while. He used to play here when he was with the Falcons, but he didn't remember it being that great. And then when we got here, he walked around, came back to our seats, and said, "You know, you're right about that spread." And I was like, "I told you so."
So does that mean that you had two grapes instead of your normal one grape pregame?
Oh, very funny.
All right. So what's going on in the field right now? Freddie says that the quarterbacks and receivers are out there. He's saying that it looks like it's going to be Brady and Mallett tonight. What are you hearing? What's the scuttlebutt?
Well, yeah. Right now, the entire team is out on the field. They're going through the pregame stretching. I think my gut's telling me that we're going to see a lot of Ryan Mallett tonight. And I'm going, mostly by what we saw in practice the last few days, where Mallett took a lot more of the second team snaps, rotated in a lot more with Brian Hoyer. So, maybe it's not out of the realm of possibility that we see all three, but I'm looking more towards an appearance by Brady and then maybe a heavy dose of Ryan Mallett.
Which is exciting, because he should be throwing to some pretty good receivers if he comes in early, correct? Because I don't know that they have enough receivers to just turn it all over to, kind of the Buddy Farnhams of the world tonight.
Yeah, I would be excited. I think you guys had a poll up on the Facebook page about who you're most excited to see as a veteran debuting tonight, and I think Ocho Cinco is one of them. I'd like to see him in game action, and having Ryan Mallett throw to him or Brady, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to see him out on the field in uniform other than a practice field. So, I think you're right. We might not see them for all that long. I would be surprised if it goes any more than a couple of series or maybe a quarter at the most, depending on how many drives they get. But I think you're going to see a lot more of the younger guys again in this game.
No, I agree. Just was wondering, is there any noticeable guy, guy that stuck out that's not in uniform? Eric, I know you didn't take attendance with 90 guys on the roster, but anybody stick out to you that's not there and, out of the ordinary?
No, nothing that I can see right now. I'm trying to do a scan of the field now, because they're all, in the and conveniently in the stretching lines with their numbers facing us for the most part.
Like a Jermaine Cunningham who missed the last couple of practices, but, that's someone I didn't know if he would play or not.
I don't spot him out there at the moment. I'd be very surprised if we see him at all, if he even made the trip. One of the other things I do want to point out, though, is I'm kind of interested to see what happens at left tackle, because we started to see Matt Light take a lot more reps and get a lot more active in practice the last few days. Whether or not he actually starts might be immaterial, but just if he gets into game action at all tonight would be noteworthy, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see Solder, but yeah, absolutely it would be noteworthy to see Light get out there. But so they haven't done any of their pregame prep work yet. It's just been stretching.
They just broke out of the stretching lines and they're doing that now. So, wide receivers are catching some passes. Yeah. D-line is down in the corner here doing some calisthenics. The O-line is in the far corner with Dante Scarnecchia.
Yeah, so we don't see the actual offense and defense yet, though. So,
yeah.
I think that's when you're going to get your answer for Nate Solder definitively. But, yeah, I think, was it Zolak, Andy, I think you said earlier, said that Solder would play three quarters tonight. So we'll have to take a look at that. But, Eric, I want you to make sure you get back to that pregame spread, because it's too good to waste. Eat a little extra for fat guy Paulie back here.
Oh, don't you worry. I got to pace myself. I'll spread it out all through the game. We've got halftime, too. Maybe even take something with us on the plane.
All right. Well, you stay busy tonight. Make sure you have fun.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you.
See you.
Write like a champion.
As always, write like a champion. I'm going to get back to those emails. I want one email before I get ready to take the final break of our second episode of the Patriots pregame social. It's from James. You know what I've noticed about James, Andy? James has taken a lot of liberties now that he's become like this most interesting Patriots fan, and, you know, sort of our benefactor, for lack of a better word.
He can do anything he wants.
Tweedledum and Tweedle Fathead, he addresses us. Firstly, how high should I be on Dane Fletcher, Montana State, to clarify?
Very.
Seems that some areas of the media are extremely bullish on his upside. Secondly, who do you think this is a make-or-break game for?
Oh, I thought there were choices.
No.
A make-or-break game for?
Yeah, I think that's strong in any regard, but I think the cornerbacks that we talked about earlier probably fall into that kind of category.
Sure. I don't think it's make or break for virtually
anybody.
Anyone.
Anybody.
But, you know, those corners could take
and games aren't necessarily the all-important indicator. It's practice is very important in this.
And getting on the field. I think some of these make or break guys like Brandon Tate are, can they get on the field? Or is their career just going to come to an end because they can't get on the field?
When do we expect the next round of cuts? That's August 30th. I want to say is the cut down to 75, which will be a very, very large cut. It used to be 80 to 75. Now, obviously, it's 90 to 75. So that's a significant cut now.
Maybe. Now, keep in mind, there's always the moves and things and how it can be tweaked.
Can listeners buy you dinner?
Of course, especially if they're rich.
you know it, James. Signs off. James Pettigrew, the world's most social media averse Patriots fan. And he says, Paul, you're not a fan. Takes a lot of shots. A lot of shots.
He gets at least one shot for every lunch he buys, and you know what? He hasn't taken that many shots yet.
All right, so let's keep the emails coming in. We have another segment coming up. Keep the phone calls coming in. Again, 508-298-0398 here at the Patriots pregame social. We'll be back after this.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window.
It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Brats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger.
Think you know more about the Patriots than Andy Hart?
I was so wrong.
Prove it. Inside the Patriots Pregame Social. The Pregame Social is the only interactive radio pregame show that lets you be a part of the show.
People won't like this show.
So, what are you waiting for? Join the Patriots Pregame Social every game day, live on the Patriots Facebook page.
Back here for the final segment of the Patriots pregame social here at Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo with you. Special thanks to Fred Kirsch for doing Eric Scalabino's job for him.
Blah, 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 blah.
Fred says no Matt Light. So
that is accurate.
As we've been talking about all night.
Babbling Nate Solder will also play. Reporting no Matt
Check
Light.
It out. Fred also reporting that Eric is whining already, which is not a surprise.
Oh, we forgot to ask them what he and Fred did for dinner last night. Was it an intimate candlelight affair in their room?
Go F yourself.
I did not check out the blog. Did he post?
He posted a sunrise over Raymond James. Really?
Really.
And he said, to me, it looks like a giant orange over a bowl.
Well, he sent in a picture from the press box we threw up on the Facebook
It wasn't
page,
a double dude. Rainbow?
So I replied,
did you see the double rainbow?
To me, it looks like a giant flame. And that is not a
You know what? No lie. It's
writing.
About 800 degrees in this studio.
Yeah,
right
can
now.
We get some circulation?
That's what's happening. Andy and I talked a little bit during the break that we felt like we got off to a really strong start and then kind of, you know, petered out a little bit. And I think that's what it is.
I am feeling.
I think we're getting lethargic
and hot, and
we're getting lethargic. And I don't want that. I want to bring it every week.
Well, good news is we got a tweet.
All of a sudden,
from,
I just banged on the computer, and we got different emails coming in.
Gasface 25 says we are killing it today.
Okay, see, we're our own worst critics.
And one more thing, Bill Jones, who sent in apparently 8 emails saying he hates me. I hate you too, even though I don't have any idea who you are. I just hate you because you hate me. Go, Paul.
Let's see here. Which game? There's a lot of
radio, Paul. You need to read it.
There's a lot of games. I'm going to go to Brian in New Mexico. Normally PFW in progress pushes me through my workday.
Didn't you already read this?
To you off the air, idiot.
Oh, I didn't know there were things that were off air and on air.
The pregame social has put an official early end to my workday between listening to you highly entertaining gentlemen and chatting with other good-looking fans on Facebook and Twitter.
How do you know they're good-looking?
I am much too entertained to do anything but kick back and enjoy.
Grab a Miller Lite, put your feet up, and watch the game.
I know it's the Patriots pregame social, but I also wanted to give Andy a chance to crow a little bit about Robert Quinn. He looked sensational in his first preseason game. Great job, guys, including Chris. The stream is great. Now, it's very rare that we get an email that praises all of us.
It is very rare. We may want to save that one. Print
well,
that
that's
out.
That's why
I
wanted to make sure I read it. And
so good you read it twice.
Yeah, once off air, Andy. That's kind of how it works. You know, you kind of go through
you
these.
You don't remember me saying, you know, Paul, you should really read that on the air.
No.
No?
Bill, by the way, is still chiming in. Thanks a lot, Jimbo Hart.
At least my initials aren't BJ. It's probably appropriate for you, Bill. Bill Jones. BJ.
You cancel PFW today so you can grandstand for 2 hours about Quinn, Mendenhall, Sanders, and Price.
I haven't talked about any of those.
And on top of it, you put your crap show on Facebook so I can't listen. What the hell, big ears?
That's not my decision. That's Fred Kirsch, and you can listen on iTunes Live. Second of all, I didn't mention any of those players that he talked about.
Did you talk about any of that on the pregame show on 98.5 today?
No, I did not. It was all Mark Clayton.
I don't know. Mark Clayton? I don't even know what he was talking about then.
I think BJ is drunk.
Which is how you should be
before a game, by the way. I got no problem with the little tailgate.
You got a little something for the
warm up,
lube
up.
We got pages flashing back and forth, and I wanted to get before we forget, Andy, our good friends at fantab.com. You have that information.
That's why
for
I was
us?
Waving it in front of you.
Okay, so
off air, not on air.
I wanted to check back in and to see where that confidence level is for Patriots Nation.
Confidence rating, booming, raising up 90, Paul. That's us, you know. That's us.
Someone from 88 to 90.
That's us.
I called them out.
That's us.
I called them out, and they listened. They responded.
We are now 7th in the NFL. We went from -1 to +1 past 24 hours. We got them some new listeners. And comment from Ted. Patriots were 14-2 last year with a horrible D. With D improvements and more offensive weapons and another year under the belt of Gronk, Hernandez, Woodhead, Edelman, Price, etc., the sky is the limit. So apparently Ted is Fred's pseudonym on the internet.
Excellent. Excellent. And that,
I also have some inactives out of Tampa. Not inactives, but.
Okay. Well, that check, with the Patriots fan sentiment is brought to you by FanTab. FanTab. Tracking fan confidence.
That was awesome. You didn't read it. You just like, went off the top of your head. That was pretty cool.
Thanks.
Mike Reese has a nice little list here of the players spotted.
Oh, you mean what I asked Eric to do?
Yeah, spotted on the field for pregame warmups, which is a sign that they won't play, says Mike Reese. No surprises here. Julian Edelman, Taylor Price, Brandon Tate, all missing practice. Ross I. Dowling, I don't even know that I've ever seen him other than that one day when he looks stiff and slow. Shane Vereen doesn't practice. Kevin Faulk, PUP. James Sanders hasn't practiced. Malcolm Williams, Eric Catani, Josh Barrett, Jeff Tarpinian, who was well on the way to making the roster according to some reports until he stopped playing and was injured. Brandon Spikes, very active on Twitter. Marcus Cannon on NFI. Ryan Wendell hasn't been practicing. Brandon Dedrick, PUP. Matt Light, who has been practicing but wasn't very active in the walkthrough the other day, so we assumed he would not be part of the traveling party. Albert Hainsworth, we haven't seen. Sean Ellis on PUP. Jermaine Cunningham's been banged up this week. Ron Brace and Mike Wright.
Ooh.
It's a long list. It's a long list. But it's probably 21, I'm
It's all
guess.
As expected. I mean, right. There's nothing that was unexpected.
These are guys, as Andy said, that haven't really been practicing very much, if at all, lately. And the the weather looks good in Tampa anyway.
I think it's hot in Tampa.
Tweet? No. Said it feels like the first day of school.
I think it's hot in Tampa because Scott Zolak is sweating profusely through his dress shirt as he is going on the WBZ pregame show.
Yeah, that's not a good look. He probably should have a jacket on if he's going to be sweating like that. He looks like me.
It's true.
But
it's
tall, a tall, thin version of me.
It's no good to have the pit stains through the jacket, though. That's when you're really...
Well,
you've got to really sweat.
Yeah, and I see Ocho running some routes right now with his headphones on, so that's interesting. First day of school. He's very excited to be here in heaven. Let's see. One more email here that I want to get to. Nick wants to talk about Butler and Tate. But first of all, I can't tell you how glad I am that you guys are the ones doing this show. I tried to listen to the postgame last week, ended up having to turn it off. The best part of the show was Kevin's drops, and you guys know how good Kevin's drops are. I'm going to go ahead and give Pac-Man the benefit of the doubt and try again once the regular season starts, but you guys have never faltered. So, Andy, I think we're being a little bit overly critical of ourselves. Anyway, my question is on Butler and Tate. Which one is more likely to get cut, or will both stay with one possibly on IR? I'm not going to lie. I was a believer that Tate would do something until the bitter end of last season. Nowadays, though, I'm not so convinced. His performance last year, coupled with the fact that he hasn't been practicing and that the kickoff rule has been changed, I can hardly think he is a lock for the team.
He's not. I think there's a good chance he could be cut.
Now, we posted, Andy and I, our first roster projection on Wednesday on the PFW blog.
We put it up around 11, and it was out of date by, 4?
Yeah. But,
when Mark LeBlanc
we alluded to the fact.
Well, you covered your bases. Don't worry.
We alluded, but specifically, that one guy could go, Mark LeVore. I didn't do that for everybody that we had on the roster.
Don't yell at me.
And one guy that we did not have.
2 hours in, he gets cranky.
Getting any cooler in there? I'm trying to get some air circulation.
Not really.
No?
You can tell by his attitude.
One guy that I did have, that Andy and I did not have as part of our 53-man roster was Brandon Tate.
Right. Because I think there's a good chance he gets cut for some of the reasons that the emailer listed. And then you also combine the fact that, yeah, he had 2 touchdowns last year, but his returns tapered off during the year. You were surprised when I listed that they ranked
stunned
18th. Is that the number?
18th in kickoff return average.
So it's not like they were even good, you know, league-wide. Looking back, they've been much better. Half the Belichick era, they've been in the top 10 in the league. Last year was not one of them, despite the 2 touchdowns, which tells you some of the other ones were really bad, because when you have 90-100-yard returns, that tends to help your team average, and it didn't boost it enough to get them out of the middle of the pack, bottom half. Okay.
You want to play another game?
Well, I wanted to bring up one little thing while we're talking roster.
Okay.
I see everybody, pretty much all the other roster projections, putting Shane Vereen on the roster. I don't see it. He hasn't practiced. I know it's reportedly a hamstring injury, but I don't care how much of a pro system you come from, how pro-ready you are. I don't understand how you can miss all of training camp with no offseason and still be worth a roster spot. I think there's a good chance he could end up on IR. I really do.
And you don't do the whole, we don't want anybody to see what he can do on tape with a rookie.
No.
You don't do that.
No.
So,
I mean, if we're afraid to put Nate Solder on the field because Brady could get hurt, how about putting a rookie running back who didn't have an offseason or a training camp on the field and there's a blitz? You don't think Brady could get hurt? So, and you also benefit from, in my opinion, the fact that Ridley has caught the ball pretty well.
The Riddler.
And Kevin Falk could be on PUP. So if you need a third down guy, which is sort of the Vereen mold, you could bring Falk aboard in week 7 if you need a guy, and that's a way to get around that.
I
think there's a chance Vereen's on IR.
I love Shane Vereen. I loved his college
tape.
I'm not
talking about future. I'm talking about
right
now.
He is not practicing, and there is, I think, very little chance that, barring some more injuries, that changes his status. I think that has to change his status. I think you're absolutely right. Right now, I think he ends up on IR. And just to let the listeners know, PUP and those kinds of things are not options because he practiced. So and that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. Do you want to play a game? Another game? Bill in San Diego has one.
Bring it, Bill.
Since he gets pumped for a game, usually by playing a little bit of Madden.
Yeah, and listening to the pregame social on the Patriots Facebook
I thought
page.
I'd give you guys a game to play regarding the soon-to-be-released Madden 12 and their player ratings for the Pats. They use a scale of 1 to 99, so all you need to do is say whether or not the player I give is under or overrated. I'll put my opinion, but you don't have to read it. Wes Welker, 90. Under or overrated?
Slightly over.
Sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski, 84.
Under.
I'm going to say under as well. Aaron Hernandez, 82.
Even.
Sounds about right to me, too. Danny Woodhead, 82.
Underrated.
I think it's a little underrated. Brandon Merriweather, 83.
Overrated.
I agree. Devin McCourty, 87.
Underrated.
I agree. They have Taylor Price at a 62.
Underrated. Come on! Add 20 points to that. Ridiculous.
Tom Brady, 99.
Underrated.
By the way, the team overall is 88 with 5 players rated over 90. Brady, Wilfork, Mayo, Mankins, and Welker. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. That's Bill
in San Diego.
Bill.
You're the good Bill, not that BJ guy.
Bill!
And those aren't your initials. That's how I'm describing you.
For God's sakes. Hey, No Neck and Baldy. Actually, you wrote badly, though, so you're an idiot, Josh.
If this were Twitter, somebody would call him out.
Josh is in Arlington, Virginia, of course.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
All right, Kevin. We know you have the ball drop. You don't have to use it every time someone refers to me as bald.
I'm just happy he's participating.
I am, too. He's doing a good job. He's doing a good job, Kevin. Did you two see the tweet from Dane Fletcher saying he would give away his game-worn equipment each week to his biggest Twitter fans starting with next week's game? And that's a pretty awesome example of interactive social media.
That is very cool. Paul's actually going to give away his underwear after this
and
show.
And no, Paul, you can't win it. You are not a fan. That's the second person that's done that tonight.
What?
With the sarcastic, Paul is not a fan. Let me tell you something about being a fan. I was willing to kill for my team. They made movies about that stuff.
Yeah, they put guys in jail in L.A. for it.
Ken is in Florida. 3-4 defense, 4-3 defense?
4-3.
Can we see something like a 5-2-4 with all the defensive linemen?
Yes, yes, you can. No, no, you can't. Not with five defensive linemen.
Hey, you want to check in with Stig from Norway?
Sure.
Well, only because he's from Norway. Listening on the pregame show and having some beer and pretzels.
Nice.
Can we get some of that?
Big pretzels or like the little ones?
I don't know.
The
what's
Buffalo
up?
Wing pretzels are phenomenal if anyone cares.
What's up with the man, the myth, and our new pass rushing monster? Are you ready?
Robert Quinn?
Markell Carter.
Haven't seen him do a darn thing.
Yeah, he is,
remember all those?
He's been very quiet.
He's going to make the roster just because they don't have enough bodies. Well, now they have enough bodies.
Not so much. Not so much.
He could be on the practice squad.
He could be on the practice squad. Who knows?
Be nice to have OCU Manure on the practice squad.
Who knows? Andy, final thoughts here as we prepare to head upstairs to actually watch this game. I'm kind of looking forward to watching the game in a different way, but what is your first... And what is the first that you're looking for tonight, I guess?
Well, it's kind of where we started the show, coming exactly. Full circle. Tom Brady throwing the ball to number 85, Ocho Cinco. I want to see some synergy in the offense. I want to see Welker cutting in, Ocho cutting out. Boom, timing, first down. I want to see working off each other, a screen to Welker where Ocho is making the block, stays on his stock block, and boom, you see Welker shoot by for 15 yards. I want to see Gronkowski going down the seam just past that linebacker. Brady drops it in, and Gronk goes 25 yards. That's what I want to see. Offense clicking against a decent young defense.
And as you said, and we have reiterated throughout the night, Tom Brady and the frontline players are going to play tonight. Jonathan Kraft on the Sports Hub just said that expect to see Ocho Cinco and the starters play a good chunk of the game tonight. We have been saying that all along. It's going to be a big, big opportunity to see the Patriots frontline players for the first time this summer. And, Andy, I know you think the show is over, and our part of the show is over, but it's only just begun because you can get over to Patriots.com and listen to Fred Kirsch. You heard all of the interesting things that Fred had to say during the course of this show. His live in-game chat is going to begin right now. Kirsch words, you want to find that on Patriots.com, and you can give Fred some crap and find out what is going on in Tampa Bay, because that's where Fred Kirsch and Eric Scalavino are. So again, curse words on Patriots.com. The program hasn't ended until you get over there. But again, Andy, episode number 2 in the book. Any final thoughts?
I don't want to see Dan Conley getting beat up by Gerald McCoy. Last time we saw Dan Conley on the field, it wasn't so pretty, right, in January? Against a good defensive lineman named Sean Ellis.
Well,
I want to see him block Gerald McCoy.
This is true.
Booyah.
All right. We'll be back next week with the next edition of the Patriots Pregame Social.
This has been the Patriots Pregame Social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Johnson takes the shotgun snap. He's back to throw, and here's the rush. He gets rid of the football. It's touched off at the 30, at the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Brandon Merriweather.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game.
Third down and 9, direct snap to Brady. Has time, fires down the middle, caught, Gronkowski, flies into the end zone, touchdown.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game. We look forward to hearing from you on next week's edition of the Patriots Pregame Social.